All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a bank town! Hey, how we doing? It's an FYI Friday on The Usual Suspects, and as you usually suspect, all of us are present and accounted for. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. Special guest appearances behind the scenes by the bearded one, the firebush of fun on an FYF Friday. It is Trey, as he is going to be following Nick's footsteps for the day so that he will not screw up on Monday when he advances and elevates from, what is it called, from Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock to real radio in the afternoon.
I almost had a word I can't say, but it's late hits.
Late hits, that's right.
But I almost put a T on hits instead of H.
Ooh, that wouldn't have been good.
See? But let's be real. He's here so he doesn't mess up. Trey's going to mess up on Monday. There's going to be plenty of foul-ups. He's going to forget the fart at the end. There's going to be issues.
The good thing is that he doesn't have big shoes to fill.
Not
a big standard.
That
coming
is
in
true.
And filling in for Nick Sciarra.
That so. Is true. I
he
mean,
looked at your small feet before he took the opportunity.
You're looking at my feet, bro?
No, I wouldn't do that. But I'm not going to play that song where I'm groaning like I'm pleasuring myself.
That's a one-hit wonder, but it's a fantastic one. We're looking forward to Monday with you, Trey. I expect you to have plenty of Super Bowl audio for us. I don't want to have to ask you for it like I do, Nick. I just want you to have it. He's just shaking his head randomly. I'm so pumped for this weekend.
Are
so
you?
Jazzed.
Why?
It's Super Bowl. The commercials. Can I start off with a rant? Not really a rant, because I know people lose their bleep because I go off on tangents and rants. My big thing about Super Bowl weekend is I don't understand why they're showing us the commercials now. It ruins the surprise. I don't want to see the commercials now. I want to wait till Super Bowl, so I've avoided them all. Why are they showing us?
I can tell you why. Because if someone pays $4.5 million for a 30-second ad and they're looking to get their return on their investment as a company, they're trying to do whatever they can in certain ways to at least get them some more run for the ad.
Okay, but then usually you'll see that afterwards, right? So you sit through Super Bowl Sunday and all the ads, and then for the next month, all through February, you see the ads that you saw Super Bowl Sunday. So I get that. You're going to get your bang for your buck and your money's worth for the ad. I just don't need to see it Thursday prior to Sunday. On the internet, no less. Not on a show somewhere. It was just like, oh, look at this ad from Budweiser. I'm like, no. I don't want to see those because those are usually good, too. I don't know. I feel like it's like, it's like when you watch a preview for a movie. And you see all the best stuff from the movie, and then you sit there and you're like, well, this sucked.
Well, the crazy thing is, too, someone was asking me, like, why is the halftime show so important?
Oh.
Why are the commercials something that everybody's... I said, because you know what? This is the most watched television... I don't care if sports or otherwise. This is the most watched television program in the 12-month calendar year of TV.
Of the world, Craig!
Whether you're at a party or you're at the house, there's a bunch of people that... The same way they wouldn't even be tuned in if they were watching the Giants and the Cowboys in Week 8. But because they know everybody and their mother's watching it, they have to have something that interests them. So now you're going to get columnists and the day after ad results that are going to tell you the top 5 commercials, the top 5 worst commercials. They're going to, you know, do those lists. They're going to talk about, was the halftime show good, bad? Were the appearances good, bad?
Well,
because people that don't like football are watching.
I can tell you right now that the halftime show is going to be great. I don't even need to have the sound up. Who's really tuning in to hear them sing, to hear Shakira and J-Lo sing? Nobody. Let's all be real. We're all tuning in to see how hot they look.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no other reason to watch it.
Like Lisa, she's all over J-Lo. She's talented as a dancer, but she can't sing. I go, she's 50 and she's still doing it? Are you kidding me?
She can sing.
I think so too.
That's just Lisa being catty.
I think it's a female hating on another female.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Nora's prone to that too. Where I'd be like, man, look at that. Shakira, boy. She'd be like, well, you know, she doesn't have anything to do all day but work out. So she can, I'm like, what is that? What? Where did that come from? Well, I don't know. If I could just sit around all day and not have to work, I could look like that. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're hot to me, babe. That's not it. I'm just saying.
Her hips don't lie, but her face fibs. I'm telling you right now. I'm like, get out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. I that was my big beef that I wanted to actually bring up earlier in the week, but stop showing me the commercials. I want to wait.
Did you also hear, because we talked about this, did you also hear that the Mr. Peanut Planters
Peanuts
ad is
going
to be pulled?
Is it? Why?
Because they feel with the Kobe Bryant tragedy and the helicopter going down and everything and the fact that Mr. Peanut was going to
fall. You're kidding
fall.
Me.
I'm totally serious.
Are you kidding me?
They were absolutely
one
saying
thing
that
has nothing to do with the other. That is the most asinine thing.
There were articles written earlier in the week that said that because of all of that, they're probably going to pull the ad.
Now, okay, you're going to have to tell me, was there outrage from the public on this? Or was this just Planters saying, you know what? We're going to avoid all these mamby-pamby hoes and all the crying and all these weak-ass bitches out there that get upset about everything. Let's just pull it now. That doesn't make any sense to me. Can nobody show a movie now with a death in it? One thing doesn't have anything to do with the other.
I know.
But
I'm just letting you know that
one is a fictional character. One was a real-life human being with a child and, like, what the... Oh, I almost cursed. What are you doing? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just seems silly. And you know me, I always err on the side of caution and sensitivity. And even though even though I disagree with this. Okay, I don't feel like
you do.
I don't feel like you were very sincere in that remark. But you know, when it is, I've been very anti-cancel culture, but I do think sometimes certain things have repercussions and you have to be aware of that. But this, really? A fake peanut?
There it is right here, Barry.
And they spent all that money to tell us that he was going away, that he died, and now you're not going to run it.
According to CNBC and others, Planters has paused its ad campaign about Mr. Peanut's death due to the unfortunate helicopter crash of Kobe Bryant.
Are you okay with this? With them pausing it? Are you good with this?
I'm not. I don't get it.
I don't get it. This makes no sense to me. Are we that sensitive now? Is this where we're at now, America? Is this where we're at?
We're all saddened by the last weekend's news, and Planters has paused all campaign activities, including paid media, and will evaluate next steps through a lens of sensitivity to those impacted by this tragedy.
And I get it, because the last thing Planters wants is to be like, man, are you kidding me? Now the internet is up in arms because we ran our commercial. And now we're getting backlash, and we should be ashamed, and I'll never buy a nut ever again. I'm never putting Planters nuts in my mouth. Just not going to happen.
Nut up!
I hope you're happy, millennials. This is what you've done now. We can't even kill Mr. Peanut appropriately because everyone's worried. God bless it. Trey and these millennials just ruined America. That's
like
what
you're
it is.
Stripping the power from your marketing people.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do? I don't know.
Castrating them of their power because of the fact that you won't let them kill their nuts.
I knew.
I'm just saying.
I knew once one nut joke came out that it was going to open the floodgates for you. I knew it.
And I mean... let a company come out of its shell.
You know, just make them go nuts, whatever. Do your thing.
See? No problem.
And now I've stooped to your
level.
Yes,
you have. And I love it. That's absolutely fantastic.
Every time I do, I die a little on the inside as a comedian.
Well, then, can we do it more often? You can speed the process up for Nick.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so Planters already pressing pause on killing of Mr. Peanut due to the unforeseen circumstances with Kobe Bryant and his helicopter accident with his daughter Gianna and the other seven people involved.
While I appreciate the sentiment, I just disagree with the premise. Does that make sense?
It does.
I appreciate what they're trying to do, but one has nothing to do with the other. Run your little commercial, get your little pub. I don't know.
I mean, basically, he sacrificed his life so that Wesley Snipes could live. That's part of the ad.
He's
that
on
the
tree
other
branch
guys hanging on the branch.
Really? Wesley Snipes is one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. And by the way, somebody already texted me, "Hey, Nick, I hope you isolated Barry saying nuts in my mouth." Yeah, you don't think that was planned, texter? I tell you what, if this is how we're starting the text, you guys can save it.
People are sharper.
If you
than
sent that dumbass text already and we're at 110, we ain't reading the text line today. "Hey, Nick, I hope you isolated that obvious joke that Barry made." Delete. Don't send another one today.
Between you and AJ, your impersonations are just so spot on today. I don't know that I can go on. I mean, no, you guys are just, you are able to pinpoint and just project.
No, this is funny. Somebody said, "Okay, that's it. I'm boycotting Planners because they won't run the ad." This is literally, wouldn't that be great? We should get that going. No, because then we would look insensitive because of their, we're not sensitive to their sensitivity.
If it's just so convoluted. All right, so F Yeah Friday. We know F's for football, but the Super Bowl, as Barry mentioned, coming up. We know that, amongst other things, F is for funny because we have a comedian of the week. Barry's going to tell you all about him. Then we're going to run clips 115, 215, 315. Without further ado, Mr. Laminate, please give us the details.
Dez White. You know, this is crazy, and I like to. The whole point of featuring a comedian every week on F Yeah Friday is I wanted to introduce a lot of these local comedians to people that may have not known who these comics are out of Houston. And I kept it strictly to Houston. Well, Dez is a comedian that even I hadn't met yet. And we met Tuesday at the Improv. We were hanging out in the green room, Dez and myself and Bryson and E. Green, and just chopping it up. And I was like, you know, it's cool. I finally got to meet him because I've heard about him. I've seen about him. He's done some cool things. So Dez White, at It's Dez White on Twitter. He's been on Kevin Hart's One Mic Stand. Used to be a radio guy. He's got his a lot of stuff that runs on Sirius XM comedy radio. So check him out. I think he lives in L.A. now doing his thing. So just another Houston comedian out there grinding it out, trying to do his stuff. So go follow him at It's Dez White. And like you said, we'll run clips, three clips this Friday.
There you go. So we've got plenty to get to, including those clips and lots of other things as we start an F Yeah Friday on the usual suspects. It could be Nick's Wally Pip moment. It could be Trey stepping up to carry on the torch from this point forward. Nick's going to Vegas. He may never return, and Trey may never let him. It's all part of the controversy on the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I got pulled over in South Carolina, and they me up. We in the car, we ride. And I don't know about y'all, but where I'm from, when you see a cop, you let everybody in the car know you see a cop. You know, you just make sure everybody aware, like, "Hey man, before you think about doing some dumb shit." And my friends like to play and all that old kind of shit. "Hey man, it's a cop right up here to the left. Chill the fuck out."
There he is. First of three clips from Dez White, Barry's longtime friend from afar.
No.
Just recently met.
I mean, I knew of Dez. Dez is one of those guys. You know how, like, there's guys in radio, there's guys in every walk of life where you see them, you hear their name, friends of yours run in circles with them, but you've never met them. And met him on Tuesday. I was like, oh, there you go. I'll make him Comedian of the Week. He actually was on my list because I have a very long list of names that I haven't gotten to yet. Just a lot of them don't have good audio. That wasn't great audio, but you're just got to do what you got to do.
You're just such a giver.
Okay.
It's just,
I don't need you to mock me right
people
now.
People helping people. I like it.
I don't need you to mock
me. So Dez White.
Yes.
Catch him 215, 315 as well.
Can I give a quick shout out one more time to our friend of the show, Randy Lemon.
Lemon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Randy Lemon stopped by after the show yesterday and presented us with an autographed copy of his new book. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you right now, if you think I know a lot about lawns, and it's because of him. I mean, I literally had his last two books and read them, and I almost memorized his website. And so when people ask me stuff and I'm able to answer it, it's because of Randy Lemon. And so it was very cool to get, it's almost like getting an update. It's like the King James version of the Bible. We just got an update to the Lawn and Gardening Bible. And so I was super pumped about that. We just got to hang out and kick it for like an hour after the show. So very cool.
He's just a down-to-earth great guy. And so, and he's been around forever. And I've known him for a long time since I've been in Houston. So it's always good to catch up with him.
He's I'm showing guy. It on the Twitch, but it's called New Decade Gardening, a Gulf Coast Guide. And I think it's at Ace and plenty of other places. So
should be in Nick's back pocket.
Yeah. Bro, when you sent the picture of your backyard, Nicholas.
Awful.
Holy crap. I showed it to Randy Lemon. He threw up. He literally threw up in his mouth at how awful the weeds are in your yard.
Well, do I get extra points for...
No, I'll just say now.
It's not in the front yard.
That was in the back?
That was like the back end of the driveway.
So people could still see it from the street?
From a distance, yeah.
You get extra points for capitalizing on the fact that we were still hanging out with him when you sent your text.
Yeah.
And the only reason why you sent your text was basically like putting someone that's missing on the back of a milk carton so that he could see it and go, and you're just screaming, help me.
Yeah, it was awful.
What did he say about it? What was his diagnosis?
He literally just went, whoop, in his mouth, and that was the end
was
of it.
It wasn't that bad, though.
It was pretty awful. Pretty awful.
He's like, there's a dog park by my house with no lawn, and it actually looks better than, they poop on spots better than what Nick's got in his backyard.
By the way, as we're singing his praises at 120 on the show,
yeah.
I just read the front cover. Barry, thanks for keeping me entertained from 2 to 4. I never get to listen to the first hour. Son of a...
He's great.
That's so awesome. Well, I'll have to tell him. We'll have to send him the audio of us singing his praises. Because he won't believe it. But it happened. So, yeah, I'm super pumped. You have no idea. And he told me, I was like, well, how much of it is a repeat from your last book? Only 15%. And I know a bunch of you out here don't have this book, so go get it, learn it, and stop asking me questions at shows.
Literally. Yeah, no. Nick, let's get this straight. No. Suspects, you're doing a great job supporting Barry whenever he's out doing comedy.
That is true. That is 100% fact.
About Lawn Talk while you're at the shows. Not here, not now.
Yeah.
Ask them while you're at Barry's comedy.
Agreed.
Done. Thank you. Fantastic.
I hate both of y'all so much. Also hate the text line. It's been an awful day. I really don't know if we're going to read text today. You guys suck so bad today on the text line already.
Why?
It's just a big old bowl of suck right now.
Really?
Well, a side of crap. Lot of terrible text.
You're making
text.
Me want to check out the text line now.
Mm.
Now, it's interesting, Nick. And do we have the audio ready from that you found about from Nolan Ryan, Nicholas?
Oh, yeah. Let me get that real quick.
Yeah, let's get that. Because interesting that Dusty Baker was introduced as the manager yesterday. Did I mention that Barry Warner's known him for 48 years? I spoke to Barry about the fact that he's known him since 1971. But he could not stop singing the praises of a guy that is a great dude, that is going to be great here, that knows, you know, the game of baseball inside and out.
I have, just to your point, I've never heard anyone speak ill of Dusty Baker.
Yeah, and ever. I think that we'll probably have a connection with Dusty and the Astros because Barry wants to bring me down there and meet with and maybe even have lunch or something with Dusty at some point. So
really?
If it helps the show, that'd be great.
Sure.
But I'm hoping that, you know, he helps transform this organization back to just being known for winning and success on the field instead of cheating. But we had so many questions yesterday. But one of the things that was kind of addressed previously but not kind of finalized was this whole thing where Jim Crane, and amongst all the things he was doing, he reassigned Reed Ryan from basically being the president of business operations. And Reed's done a hell of a job no matter where he's gone, whatever he's done. And he's obviously Nolan Ryan's son. And then Nick was very astute in finding some audio that Mark Berman got from Nolan Ryan. If you're an Astros fan, you can let us know what you think about this, but this was pretty telling from Nolan Ryan.
I know as it stands now, I'm not associated with the organization anymore.
Can you tell us what happened, Nolan, why that is the case?
Well, Jim had said to Reed, I guess your dad won't be involved anymore. And so I said, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that.
Are you disappointed in the way this is fleshed out?
Well, I'm disappointed in the fact that the fallout that we've had and some of the people that have lost their jobs, you know, I really feel bad for them because I think they've done a good job for that.
That says a whole hell of a lot, people. And the fact that, you know, and I could see Nolan being a little crotchety in his old age, too. That's possible, and some people may say that.
He didn't
that.
Look great.
And that's true. But the fact that he said, you know, Jim said to Reed, I guess this means your dad's not going to be involved in this organization anymore. Jim Crane, especially with all of the bad that is seemingly rightly so, associated with your franchise right now. The goodwill that you get out of having a legend like Nolan Ryan associated with your team that everybody loves, that no one's going to accuse of taking steroids or cheating or doing sign stealing, that represents your franchise on a daily, that when you turn on the TV at night and you see him sitting behind home plate and you hear your best pitcher, Justin Verlander, talk about his idol always being there to tap into and talk about baseball with, and the way he could possibly help younger pitchers, I think it's a huge loss, and I think it's a huge mistake by Jim Crane.
I agree. I think it was a mistake, but I'm going to play devil's advocate.
That's what we do here.
And we're not going to argue, but I just wanted to throw it out there. Maybe Nolan has a little diva in him. Maybe the Ryans, Reed and Nolan, are not as easy to get along with as it may seem publicly, right? And you know as well as I do. You worked for the Rockets for, 73 years or something like that? It was a long time. And behind closed doors, guys aren't always what they appear like when they're out in public.
I worked for the Rockets as long as Barry Warner's known Dusty Baker. Let's just put it that way.
But you know there are guys that publicly, they're like, oh my God, this ex-player or that ex-coach or this guy or that guy, they're the best. They're our favorite. And then the cameras go off and the internet isn't connected, and behind closed doors, you're like, this guy is so difficult to deal with. And maybe, just maybe, that was the case.
And it's possible because, you know, there's it's either the tin cup or the Happy Gilmore, right? Where you get the guy that when the cameras are on acts like everybody's best friend, and he's charitable and he's friendly and he cares about the kids. The minute the camera goes off, he goes and kicks the kid and, you know, cusses at, you know, old lady and does all those things. It's possible. But, you know, kind of like what we were saying about Dusty Baker, I don't know that anybody said a bad word about Reed Ryan. Everywhere he's been in the minor leagues and organizations that he's been associated with, he's absolutely been very positive. The fact that, and I think you've seen this too, but even last year, and ever since he's had that position with the Astros, if a fan tweets and tags him about an episode that they had with a concession stand or a seat issue, he'll go, what section were you in? Where was the ticket?
Mm-hmm.
What happened with what concession area?
Again, that's all out
in
the public.
He takes care of all of that stuff.
Totally agree. But remember, Nolan Ryan had a power struggle with the Texas Rangers, which is how he ended up with the Astros to begin with.
Okay.
So I'm not saying...
I just think you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than have Nolan associated with your team when you've been through what you've been through in the last 12 months.
Agree, but believe me when I tell you that growing up, my sports heroes started with Earl Campbell and Nolan Ryan. And then we can go on from there. And I'm telling you right now, anybody ever said a bad word about Nolan, I would punch him in the gullet. But as an adult, you got to look at it and think, maybe, just maybe, behind the scenes, it wasn't worth it.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know.
Well, you know. Food for thought.
Yeah.
Ponder that. Maybe you want to talk about it. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Just a half hour into the three-hour extravaganza. So much more to get to. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We are here.
Yes, we are.
Cody and Jake Asman. Cody Stutes, Jake Asman. There. Super Bowl Radio Row. We already discussed the fact that we'd rather be here than there, because at least you would, because of the fact that we don't like being force-fed guests. Mm. We like staying on top of Houston's current events. But we do make the most of when we do send people there and getting the best content. I cannot say that, and the same cannot be said of others very near and dear to our heart or stuck on whether it be the information highway or other thoroughfares near town.
I'm going with this, but okay.
610 is a thoroughfare. And
gotcha.
iHeart is a radio station.
Gotcha.
So if you're having cardiac arrest while at Radio Row and you don't get what you need to get out, we do. So without further ado, I want to set up the fact that Cody and Jake were able to catch up with DeAndre Hopkins and his mom on Radio Row, and very few people got this interview, so we thought it best to share it with you so you guys could absorb and enjoy the best of Radio Row without having to deal with all the other crap. So here it is.
But the guy next to me here is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. DeAndre Hopkins is with us, and his mom, Sabrina Green-Lee, kind enough to join us here in Miami. Hop, Sabrina, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
So obviously, Hop, a lot of people in Houston may or may not know the story of your relationship with you and your mom and the film that's currently being made right now about your mom. Let's start with that. How much does that mean to you, and what can you tell the listeners about what this film is going to be all about?
Oh, man, you know, I think this... You know, a lot of people in Houston are somewhat familiar with this story, but for the people that aren't, you know, my mom overcame a lot, you know, of a domestic violence situation early in her life, and, you know, left her, obviously, you know, legally blind. So, you know, this movie right here is about, you know, triumph, but I'll let her speak on that. But I'm excited, man, to, you know, to support, and you know, any way I can, man, but it's all about her.
Ms. Greenlee, tell us a little bit about the movie and how that process has been. And I'm sure there's writers and directors and, you know, research that they want to do and they want to talk to you. But tell us a little bit about the process of the movie.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a long process, but that's the life process. Actually, this part is easy. I have some amazing, amazing script writers, director, and Brun Studios has been amazing with just capturing the creativity of the movie, getting everything out there. It's going to be a depiction of my life, everything that I went through raising my children, starting around from the age of 10. They're going to go in chronological order, and so you'll get to see everything as it evolves, and just coming from just the beginning, the depression, the sexual assault, losing two brothers, losing a fiance, everything, all of these things. And so, and to wrap it up and then just to come, you know, come full circle and to show the people, you know, that there is triumph over tragedy.
And we're doing this in just one movie? I mean, this
yes,
sounds like
one movie.
Oh, my. We got a lot to get into
one movie.
Yeah, the film is currently in development.
Yes.
It is set to go into production later this year. Expected to be released in 2021.
Yes.
So, obviously, it's being put together. I'm sure that's really exciting. But for you, DeAndre, I mean, and we've spoken to you a lot, but for those who maybe aren't privy to those conversations, you've spoken a lot about how much your mom has meant to you and, you know, what she has had to overcome to give you the opportunity to go to Clemson and to be in the NFL. When you think back, I mean, how much has that meant to you over the years?
Oh, man, it's been the world to me. My mom is obviously, you know, I joke and say my father and my mom. You know, but also I have, you know, three other siblings that she raised. And all of us are, you know, tight. You couldn't tell us apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think all throughout this journey, we've all leaned on each other and supported each other. Not just me playing football, but my older sister playing basketball. My other sister playing basketball, you know, and you know, it's a family thing, man. It's not just all about me, but you know, we enjoy each other and we enjoy each other's downfalls and each other's success. You know, but my mom has been the world to not just me, but my family also. And you know, her waking up every day and being courageous enough to come out here and talk to you guys, obviously, you know, gives us strength.
DeAndre mentioned it. You've told the story a few times now.
Yeah.
Does it ever get any easier to tell the story? Sometimes it harder than other times? It's amazing the strength that you display to share that with us so many times.
I found that the more that I tell it, the more that I'm healed, the more that I'm open. Just being able to create an open dialogue to people is courageous in itself. But I don't. There are no times now that I'm fearful or it's just scary or I don't want to talk about it. I'm actually willing and loving to talk about it more because I know that the more that I talk about it, the more people are being healed.
Talking with DeAndre Hopkins here, of course, of the Houston Texans, and his mother, Sabrina Green-Lee, who, of course, is going to be featured in the film Sabrina coming out in 2021. It is set to go in production later this year. I mean, how about this week for you, DeAndre? Obviously, I'm sure you'd love to be playing in this game right now. And I hate to go with what happened in Kansas City, but we got to start there because that's the most recent time we saw you on the field.
Yeah, man.
Kind of when you think back on that game, you know, what obviously stands out to you?
Well, are you better? Because you played through an injury yet again in the playoffs because you're the toughest wide receiver in the NFL.
Shoulder, right?
Rib
this time, yeah.
Rib and finger. Yeah, man, it's football. I knew, you know, obviously going out there playing, being injured, you know, it didn't matter to me. We had a lot to fight for. I'm pretty sure a lot of my other teammates were banged up also. But it was a tough game. really don't want to relive it too much, obviously. You know, but Kansas City is a great team. You can't take anything away from those guys. You know, they beat us out fair and square. Obviously, a great comeback by Patrick Mahomes and those guys. But, you know, pulling for them. Sammy Watkins was a fellow teammate of mine at Clemson University.
Sure. Wide receiver, you?
Yeah, also like family to me. So, you know, I'm happy for them.
Up 24-0. Did you guys think you were going to the AFC title game? But where did the game change from your standpoint?
No question. Up 24-0. You know, there's no question in your head that we're going to the AFC title game. But obviously, us beating ourselves, making mistakes, turnover, you know, just little critical mistakes. But I think everyone went out there and played hard, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think anyone really has too many regrets. So I think that's all that matters.
Ms. Greenlee, talking to your son, do you get the sense that they're close to something in Houston, that they're putting something together that could be special on the field?
Oh, absolutely. They're all I believe it. We had it in the bag almost this year, but. Yeah, definitely. They're a force to be reckoned with. I'm excited to see what's going to happen next year.
Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins with us here, of course, his mother as well, Sabrina Greenlee. So, looking ahead now at you guys moving forward, Deshaun's entering year four. You got for the first time in your career, you have played with now a franchise quarterback that you know is going to be slinging you the rock moving forward. Yep. How much better can he still get though as he continues to make his way? You know, through the NFL season after season.
That's what I love about Deshaun. He never feels like he's arrived. He still wants to get better. Little things, even if it's faking a handoff or, you know, just little stuff like that that you wouldn't think, you know, a quarterback is hard on himself. But Deshaun, I think he's his biggest critic, man. So I don't expect him to feel like, you know, all right, we had a good year, you know, let me not work on it, you know. That's not Deshaun at all. He's a hard worker. I know he's going to come out next year and demand the most from us, his teammates, and also himself.
Mm-hmm. DeAndre, you got the title of the toughest wide receiver in the NFL, the best wide receiver in the NFL. Your head coach has a new title now. General manager as well.
Correct.
Bill's got a lot on his plate now.
Yeah, man.
I mean, have you noticed anything that, you know, with him sort of splitting the duties and having a lot on his plate now, have you noticed anything about, you know, maybe how hard or how seamless Bill's been able to do that?
You know, it's not easy, man. I'm pretty sure he has a lot on his plate, but he handles it pretty well. Being able to go out there and still, you know, coach a team at a competitive level the way we did and compete for, you know, almost a title, man. You know, it's not easy. He's human, but he does a great job of handling it very well.
Is there a chance that because he's so close to you guys, he maybe would know more than, you know, because he's in there calling the plays. He knows what route you're running and everything. Is there a chance he could be maybe better at that gig than some of the other guys in the league who you know, sit in the office, sit in the box on Sundays?
You know, I'm not sure. I can't speak on that because I've never honestly, you know, I don't know how that works upstairs, what those guys go through. I'm pretty sure other GMs are pretty knowledgeable about football. But I think it's definitely probably an advantage that he's coached before and, you know, actually, you know, been out there on the football field and, you know exactly what's going on X's and O's wise. So I'm pretty sure that helps.
DeAndre Hopkins with us here, SB Nation Radio. It's the main event, Jake Asman, Cody Stutes. You know, you look at the season you guys had, and so back-to-back trips to the playoffs. You guys have been there before, but in your mind, what has to happen for the Texans to take that next step? Because obviously, you know, your head coach has talked about how he believes you guys are close. Do you believe you guys are close, and what is the biggest key to getting over that hump and getting to that AFC title game and then a Super Bowl?
There's no question that we're close. Obviously, you know, us being up 24 to nothing on a team that's playing for a Super Bowl, you know, I don't think that's a question. But I think that, you know, everyone has to, you know, perform at their peak ability in those games. And, you know, beating ourselves will not help, you know, turnovers, you know, little things like that. But it's a players' league, players out there playing. So I think, you know, for us to, you know, get over that hump, everyone has to take accountability in their own job.
All right, one last one here for the movie. Do we have casting ideas yet? Do we know who's playing who yet?
What you think, Mom?
We don't have it yet. However, I have some people that I would love to possibly, you know, look into.
Sure. This feels like a star-making performance.
So, Taraji P. Henson. Definitely. I need someone to bring the beauty and the attitude all at the same time.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I have an idea. So I'm sure you know this, DeAndre, but J.J. Watt's hosting Saturday Night Live tomorrow. Yeah. If he does a really good job, can J.J. get a part in the film?
Hey, man, J.J. can have any part in any film.
That's right.
How do you think he'll do at Saturday Night Live? You think he could be funny in that type of setting?
Oh, yeah. J.J.'s a funny guy if you know him, man. He's a character. Yeah. You know, that fits him for sure.
Very cool. DeAndre Hopkins has been our guest, his mom as well, Sabrina Green Lee. Of course, the film is set to come out. It's called Sabrina. It's going to come out in 2021. Currently set to go in production later this year. It's an inspiring story. Cody and I live in Houston, so we are very familiar with it, but I think a national audience is going to love it as well when they learn about it. Guys, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, no Thank problem. You for My having pleasure. Us.
Good stuff.
Outstanding.
From our good dudes. Cody Stutes, Jake Asman doing a hell of a job. Excuse me. Great interview there. Insightful.
Really was. I like that they got, you know, obviously they were there to plug the movie and everything, and I get it, and they asked good questions about it. I really did think, though, I was saying in Nick's ear off mic, I really did think when Jake was like, well, let's talk about casting and roles, J.J. Watt's been, and I was like, oh, God, if he says J.J. Watt should play DeAndre Hopkins, I am going to murder his face.
I didn't know where he was going
with
it
either. Oh, that scared me to death.
All right, so if you guys want to comment on that, please do. Otherwise, we've got plenty more to get to as we just in hour number one of the three-hour show. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you the Rockets are back home. They're taking on the Mavericks tonight, but they're going to be home for a little bit here. And it's a chance for you to catch up and see some good Rockets basketball with a great deal in hand. You can spend a night out with the Rockets as they take advantage of the two-for Tuesday special, taking on the Hornets this February the 4th. Two tickets for as low as $49. And with that, you get two hot dogs and your choice of two drinks that even includes the option of beer, water, or soda. It's a great deal for a great night out in Houston to see Harden, Russell Westbrook, and the rest of the Rockets take on the Hornets. Charlotte's only appearance here in Houston, and you get a great deal. Tickets start as low as $49, and you can upgrade to get lower down near the court and spend a little bit more money. But the bottom line is you get in the door for $49, two tickets, two hot dogs, and two drinks. It's a phenomenal deal. And all you got to do to get it is go to Rockets.com. You go to your one-stop shop for everything Rockets, Rockets.com, and while you're looking, it'll have all the details on the front page of how you can grab this perfect two for Tuesday special and take advantage of an incredible offer. It's Russ, it's Harden, it's the Rockets and the Hornets. Tuesday night, $49 starts out your experience for that two for Tuesday. Check it out at Rockets.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number one, three-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city on this F Yeah Friday. We have a comedian. Barry has told you all about Dez White. He was a receiver for the Falcons, I think, for a while. No, oh, different guy. But we're going to have another clip at 2:15, another one at 3:15. Got a great interview from Radio Row, almost an exclusive, but probably an exclusive here in Houston, from Cody Stutes
I think,
and Jake
I think AJ said seven radio stations got that interview with the both of them.
From us.
Combined. No. Seven. They only did like seven of those sit downs. And can we just let's talk for a moment? Not even just about the interview, because props to Cody and Jake for asking the questions about the Chiefs to DeAndre Hopkins and asking about Bill O'Brien as the GM. Not everybody would want to ask those questions because it can be uncomfortable.
Right.
I think they did a good job. I think DeAndre did a good job handling them and avoiding the real questions. And I would have liked to have heard them ask about, hey, you know, do you think Bill O'Brien hates the way you practice? But of course they're not going to do that. I totally understand. But can we talk about the worst part of that interview and Radio Row?
Please.
All at once. And I'm not talking about the background noise. I'm talking about hearing people breathe through their nose through a microphone that's right up under their nose the whole time. The worst part of Radio Row. When you and I were there, we would always be like, hey, we can hear you breathing. Hey, we can hear you breathing through your nose is breathing. And it sounds like you're interviewing Darth Vader.
I have no idea.
You're trying. It's not going to be the same.
AJ laughs like that.
It's not going to be the same.
Did you ever notice on the blitz? AJ laughs like that. He goes,
his nose into the mic? Yeah. Didn't know that. But that's the worst part. And it's not just Jake and Cody. And
I would disagree. Just saying that the noise is very distracting.
It's everybody sounds like Darth Vader breathing because those microphones you use are kind of like, it's almost like the head coaches headset where you've got the mic that comes down and
it's right up in there,
right into your mouth and under your nose, and so you hear a lot of heavy breathing. So it sounds like I don't know. It either sounds like Darth Vader or somebody getting it on.
So for if you're able to cut out that distraction,
yes,
and the background noise,
yes,
and you just take the content that we just heard, it was very, very good.
Yes.
And it goes back to a point, too, that I was talking about yesterday when talking about the Houston Texans. And that is, the more that you hear from Radio Row, the more that you see the shows with the guests as they talk about the end of the football season, more and more people nationally are figuring out what the Houston Texans fans have had to deal with on a daily basis. They continually are critical of the Houston Texans. They can't believe that they promoted Bill O'Brien to general manager. They can't believe that they gave the guy the job after the mistakes that he made as the head coach of this franchise, let alone the moves that he made that weren't specifically called out, like the extensions for Martin and Merciless and not getting an extension from Tunsil when you made that trade. And so more and more people are getting more and more audio and also pointing out the fact that the Texans look like a basic laughing stock amongst the rest of the league.
That's not
a good look. I really do. I mean, we're going to get some audio from Deion Sanders where he talks about Bill O'Brien and some of the different calls he's made. But when you think about it and look, that was a national stage. That was one of only, what, two games that day, four games that weekend. And you're looking at how that whole thing played out. Everyone saw it. And everyone thought the same thing. So we can talk about the fact that in a regionally televised game or a locally owned televised game in which he didn't throw the challenge flag or he didn't manage the clock well or he didn't use his timeouts when he should have. It's one thing. But when you're on a stage that big with the lights that bright that everyone can see and everyone is thinking the same thing, the consensus you see more and more from the quote-unquote experts and others is, like, what the hell is going on there, and what's he doing?
Well, as a former fan of the Houston Texans, I'm glad I don't have to suffer that embarrassment. I'm glad I don't have to be ashamed of my football team. I'm glad I don't have to be a fan that has to watch and read the national media and see them making fun of a team that I root for. I'm glad I don't have to go through that anymore.
Okay.
It's embarrassing. It really is.
That's the thing that chaps my ass most. It's embarrassing for the city. It's embarrassing for the fan base. It's embarrassing from all these loyal fans.
You think about it. People, we all watch SportsCenter or whatever it is, and the butt of the joke is in the National Football League for the longest time was the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, it was always the butt of the joke, and you hate it when your team becomes the butt of the joke. And right now, with this move, the Texans are the butt of the joke, and it's a bad look, and it sucks. But
yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't know because I'm not a fan.
I mean, mind if I ask you a question about being the butt of the joke? The thing is like Baker Mayfield First Take. You know what's cool about what Baker Mayfield did today? He went on with Rex Ryan, and Rex Ryan has been hypercritical of him all year.
Yes, he has.
And you know what he did? He said, I just got to be better. He goes, I got to mature. I got to tune out the outside noise, like noise from you, Rex, and other people, and stop commenting on it. He goes, I learned a lot of lessons this year, and I'm going to be better for it going forward. And I thought, for what could have been a really ugly situation, he handled it really well. You don't hear that from Bill O'Brien. You hear when people want to talk about the 4th-and-1. You hear when people want to talk about the fake punt. I don't want to talk about specific plays, whoever asked the question by
Division
name.
Division champs, Brian.
So, as part of Radio Row, Ari Alexander from KPRC Channel 2 was making the rounds at Radio Row. He happened to catch up with Deion Sanders. You want to know what people on the national level, Deion Sanders, obviously an announcer for NFL Network and otherwise, think about Bill O'Brien. Think about how he rates one of his notorious calls from the Chiefs game. Here's Deion Sanders.
Even if he had scored 50 points, they'd still lose here. Deion.
But isn't that throwing your defense out there? Isn't that saying, hey, my defense is garbage? I got to score 50 points to beat this team. Mm-hmm. That, how can you say that? That was the second dumbest call ever. The first one goes to Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl when they didn't choose to run Marshawn Lynch, and they haven't recovered from that yet. But this call right here, It changed the whole complexity of the game. It changed momentum. All you had to do is punt the darn football to at least make them go for the length of the field. You cannot turn the ball over in your side of the field. The Chiefs are going to go in two or three, four plays, and that's what they did. That was a – it changed the whole game. It really did.
I understand.
Aside from Dern, it changed the whole Dern game.
Just punt the darn football.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Wash your mouth, Deion Sanders. Wash your potty mouth.
You got a guy that knows football like Deion Sanders. He ain't got to hold back.
I'm just ashamed of football players using the word darn.
Well, he's a man of God, Barry.
I mean, there's hell. The word hell is in the Bible. And damn. You can say damn. Damn nation. Which is what Texans nation is. It's the damn Texans nation. Damn nation.
Why are you blaming the nation? It's not their fault. It's Cal McNair's fault.
If they root for him, it is.
Okay. Well... And on that note, that's hour number one of the three-hour show. Still got 2 hours to go, so plenty of time to chime in. Be a suspect, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. We're also available on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.